going to be talking about the Word of God today. And I am so very grateful for Calvary Chapel type ministries, ministries that hold the Word of God very highly, that this is the central focus of our lives, the ministry, the needs that we have, each of us in this room. See, I think sometimes even myself, I can take the Word of God for granted. It's just become so natural to me that this is the truth and nothing else. Oh yes, there's other writings, there's other things that help maybe help us understand the Bible more clearly, but there's nothing like the Word of God. See, I believe that the words of man are flawed words. They cannot be taken as truth. Only the Bible that you hold in your hands is the absolute authority on truth. And if you've come to understand that and you've come to embrace that, there is no greater joy in your heart. You want to know that there are available, the Bible is available in 97% of the world's population, the Word of God. It's translated in more languages than any other book in history. It's the best-selling book of all time. But sadly, it's probably the least read. And it's probably, even more importantly, the least applied. Oh, we read it, we understand it perhaps, but do we let it do a work in our lives? See, the Bible has influenced more people throughout history than any other book. And I want to share a couple of those people's lives. Martin Luther, by reading the Bible, caused a reformation in his own heart, which led to the Great Reformation. And he said, he quoted this, "The Bible is alive, it speaks to me. It has feet, it runs to me. It has hands, it lays hold of me." The Bible is a living word. Abraham Lincoln said that the Bible is the best gift perhaps that God has ever given to man. The gift of the very words of our Creator. Sir Walter Scott, on the last one, the great British novelist and poet, when he was dying, said to his attendant, "Bring me the book." His attendant said, "Sir Scott, you have thousands of books. What book are you talking about?" He said, "There is no other book but the Bible for a dying man." And I believe that the Bible is the only book for the dying. But I so much more believe that it's the only book for the living. The living. If you want to live life and live it with abundance and live it with greatness and joy, you got to know the Word of God. You got to understand the Word of God. At one time, the Bible was the textbook in our public schools. It was the book that they used to teach on values, on morality, on truth, through the scriptures. But today, if you get caught with a Bible in the school, you're going to go to the dean's office. You're going to get in trouble. Don't bring the Word of God into a public school. Many of the Ivy League schools on the East Coast were developed to spread the Word of God throughout this country, to evangelize this country. You see, the significant impact of the Word of God upon the church at Thessalonica was what brought Paul the greatest joy, the greatest thanksgiving to God, because the Word of God changed them. But listen, they didn't have the book. They were told about the book. They were taught the book. They didn't have it in their hands. And many of us in this room have multiple copies of books, of Bibles, I should say. Different translations, study Bibles, commentaries that talk about Bibles. We are so overwhelmed with the information to show us and teach us the Word of God. And it would make this pastor very happy to know that the Word of God has impacted your life. Not the ministry, not my life, not anything else, but the Word of God, the scriptures. See, this church responded to the Word of God, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do you respond to these words? Because I believe there's two camps generally. There are those that willingly receive it. They're the people of God. They receive the Word of God with thanksgiving. And then there are those on the other side, which are the enemies of the Word of God. They reject the Word of God. They want to thwart the Word of God. They want to refute the Word of God. And they want to stop the Word of God. But you know what I love about the Word of God? It cannot be stopped. It will go out and it will accomplish its task. And every Sunday I ask God, let your word go forth. Let it change us, because I can't change us. This book did to this church an amazing thing. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at four verses this morning because we're going to partake of communion. And I think it's going to be important as we study these four verses and as we enter in this time of communion to ask ourselves, God, am I allowing your word to change me? Are you allowing the Word of God to penetrate your life, to penetrate your flesh, to penetrate your heart, to transform your mind? Or, in some senses, are you pushing against the Word of God, stopping what God wants to do? Let's jump in. Verse 13 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, we'll read the four verses. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans or the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. The first thing I want to look at, the first two verses, is speaking about the people of the Word of God. The people of the Word, those who receive. And as we see here in verse 13, Paul says, for this reason, we, Paul and his companions, give thanks to God without ceasing because you received the Word of God. The people of the Word accept the Word of God. They accept the Word of God. See, you have to accept it as truth. You have to accept it as the absolute authority upon truth and upon your life. From Genesis to Revelation, accept it all. Receive it into your life. Paul was thanking God for how these believers received it, but also look at and welcomed it. I ask you, someone comes to your front door and rings the doorbell. You open the door and you see the person standing there. Do you not have a choice? You have a choice. Are you going to just talk to this person? Are you going to invite them inside, into your home? It depends on who the person is. You know, if it's one of those guys with an item to sell you, well, you're not coming in. But if it's someone you know, if it's a friend of yours, do you not open the door and welcome them into your home? It's a friend, someone you can trust, someone that you can respect. It's the same thing when it comes to the Word of God. As you open the Scriptures and read, you have an opportunity certainly to receive the Word, to understand that Word, but are you going to welcome it into your life? See, I believe there are times in our lives when we read the Scriptures, but yet we go, ooh, that convicts me. That challenges my life. That doesn't really sit right with my lifestyle. I'm not ready to welcome it in. It's a choice, my friends. You have a choice whether to let the Word come into your life and change you. And I don't doubt, in a room this size, that those who have welcomed the Word and have allowed the Word to come into life, it's transformed your life. It's changed your life. There's no doubt that the Word of God, as living as it is, cannot change you, cannot make you a new creation in Christ. But not only did they accept it, not only did they receive it and welcome it, look what they says in the latter part of this verse. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The second thing they did is they allowed the word of God to change them. The people of the word accept the word, and then they allow the word to change their minds, their lives, and their hearts. What's the point if this word doesn't change you? What is the point for coming to church if you're not going to listen to the words of God and walk out and say, I am going to go in a different direction? I'm going to allow the word to change me. It's not an easy thing. It's not a comfortable thing. But it's a necessary thing. If we want to live lives that are godly, holy, and righteous, we have to change. I hate to say it to you, but you were born a sinner. You were born flesh. There was a time that you accepted Christ. You began to walk upon that path with the Lord. The time when your eyes were open to the truth. But you can't continue in a certain direction that goes against God if you're going to allow the word of God to change you. Notice he says, which also effectively works in you. This word, the original Greek word is energeo. Effectively works. It's where we get our word energy. It speaks of a cause to function, a grant the ability to do. The word of God in your life, as you allow it into your life, will give you the ability to accomplish something. It will give you the gifts and the talents and the abilities not only to minister to others, not only to be led by the Holy Spirit, but it's going to equip you to change other people's lives, not only your own. This church allowed the word of God to affect them, but notice, they were believers. Only believers can allow this word to change them. Only believers can be molded and shaped into what God wants them to be. But we got to allow God to do it. We all kick against the goads, I think, from time to time. We all say, God, not me, pick somebody else. We all say, it can't be me, I don't have the abilities. And God just sits there and says, I will give you the abilities. I will show you. And for those of us that have chosen to allow the word to change us, man, we look back and we go, look what God has done. Pastor RJ and I were sitting in my truck last night, and we were just talking about how different our lives are because of what God's word has done. I was reminiscing, he was praying for me, and he was praying. I said, oh, Lord, we thank you for the lives that you've given to us. And I had this vision of he and I sitting on our boat in Florida fishing. It made me laugh as he was praying. But God showed and revealed to me something. He goes, that could be you today had you not accepted the call upon your life. You could be out catching bass instead of catching souls. And it just burned into my heart the understanding that, listen, God wants to do a work in your life, but you've got to let him. You've got to say, I will do it. And then watch what God does. Because let me tell you, we weren't good fishermen. And we're probably not that good at catching souls, but God is. And if you for 1 second start to depend upon your abilities, you're going to fail. I said it to God. I was like, no, you got the wrong guy. Pick somebody else. But God says, no, I want to get all the glory. Okay, let's do it. So maybe God's tugging on your heart here this morning. Maybe God's trying to get to you, and he's trying to ask you, will you do this? And honestly, I don't think God gets that upset. And maybe I'm wrong on this, and I'm fine to be wrong. But I don't think God would be that upset if RJ and I didn't, we just decided to continue to fish. He'll have somebody else. God has unlimited resources, but we would have missed out. We would have missed out upon the fruit of our lives. And you might be thinking, well, I'm too old. Oh, too much time. No. God can restore the years the locusts have eaten away. God can give you glory and joy in your life today, even though you may feel like you've let a bunch of years pass you by and you've missed the call of, no, no. Get on. God will do it in you and through you. Just accept it. Turn with me to Philippians. It's just a few pages to the left. It's Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Because I know how we get. We kind of sense, well, I don't know if I can do it. Well, that's the greatest thing. God's word's going to do it. God's going to do it. And that's what Paul says to the church at Philippians. It's chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 2, Philippians. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, do the thing that God has created you to do. It's not the salvation of your soul. It's the salvation of your life as you continue to walk with God. Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." See, once you know what God's called you to do, you can rest on the fact, God, you got to do it. You've got to do it. And again, RJ and I talking last night, I said, RJ, the more I let God work in my life, the better things are. Where the more I try to do it in my strength, the tougher it is. And I've just got to relax. I've just got to kick back, and you've got to do the very same thing. Let God, let the Holy Spirit work through your life. Let him produce the fruit in your life. But don't forget, verse 13 again, "Therefore, my brethren," or verse 12, excuse me, "Therefore, my brethren, as you have always," what is that word? Obeyed. Obeyed. Oh, yes, we've got to let God do it, but we've also got to be obedient, to listen to the voice of God, to listen to the voice of the Word of God. Isaiah 55, verse 11 should be overhead here. It says, "So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Listen, I want you to be the thing that God sent his word to. He let him produce in you, and the purposes that he has is as he pleases, but let you be the thing that he invests the word in. Because what is his promise here? His word will not return void. His word will not cease to accomplish the purpose that it's called for you. So important is it to know the word of God. To search the scriptures and highlight the scriptures and say, that's one of my favorite verses. How are you, answer this question in your mind, how are you letting and getting the word of God into your life? What are the things that, I mean, is it a daily devotional that you read? Or is it one of those, you know, daily calendars, each day you flip over a new verse and someone explains it? How is the word getting into your heart? Someone gave this to me, and I love this idea. It's a simple jar with some papers in it with verses on it. I mean, there's what, 15, 20 verses in here? And every now and again, I'll open it up, and I'll pull out one of the verses that this person wrote, praying by God, the scriptures that they felt that would minister to me, and then I get to pull one out. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And do you know how powerful the Word of God is? That the week I was reading this, it's like, I just need to trust God more. The word was speaking to me. The word was getting into me in this way. I think this is an amazing thing. And you can make one for yourself. You can go buy them at the Lifeway or any of the Christian stores. I have a little jar. It's got a lot of little cards in it. And you pull one out and there's a scripture on it. Get the word in you. I know people that sit at work, as long as it's okay to do it, and have the iPod in their ears and they're listening to teachers. They're listening to teachings and the word of God is getting into them. And these are the people that are on fire for God, that are so filled and over. They want to do something with the knowledge that they're receiving. Because what? God's changing them. So much it's overflowing, wanting to come out of there. See, the word is getting into that person. It's accomplishing their task. And now they want to do something. Yesterday at men's breakfast, two gentlemen actually came up to me and said, "Boy, we were sitting here doing this Bible study, and I felt like the Lord put something on my heart, that this is a ministry that God might be starting to stir up in our church." I'm like, praise God. Praise God, number one, you're listening. Number two, you're willing to say, I got to share this with someone, because if we don't, guess what? Forget it. We forget it. A couple days go by. Oh, what was that God wanted? But to share it, now I get to pray and say, God, if this is of you, let it prosper. If it's of us, let it be set by the wayside, because we certainly don't want to do anything that God doesn't want us to do. Trust me, I've been in plenty of ministries that it's all flesh power. You know, I got to go do that thing. It's like there's no joy in it. I had a heart for a ministry, and I shared it with a couple of the guys, and one of the guys said, I'll do that. And 2 or 3 months into this ministry, I find myself doing it. And as I'm setting up for it, I'm thinking to myself, how did I get here? I wanted somebody else to do this. I have a call upon my life. I want someone else to be blessed and be able to be a part of this ministry. So we have to do what God shows us and God tells us, because with the Spirit behind it, with God behind it, with the Word behind it, it will succeed. It cannot fail. That's the kind of belief that we got to have. It will not fail. Hebrews 4 and 12. Just write that down and listen. For the word of God is living. It's a very familiar verse. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word discerner is a judge. The word of God is living and powerful, able to judge your thoughts, the intents of your heart. Listen, we can have a lot of, I'm going to call them harebrained ideas. And we need the word of God to discern whether it's a harebrained idea or an amazing idea that God has. Because I think God can have some pretty wild ideas that we might think, well, that's me. That's not going to happen. Let's make sure that the word of God is the discerner, is the judge. See, by accepting the word and allowing the word to change you, you open the door of the word of God to be the judge over your life. Guilty, innocent, yes, my will be done in your life. Let him direct. Let him instruct. But what, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians, what did the word give this church the ability to do? And I think to me this is the heart of the message. And maybe the end of the message too. What did this word give this church the ability to do? Look at verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. See, the people of the word imitate the word of God. They imitate the word of God because they've allowed the word to come into their life. They've accepted it. They've allowed it to change them. And now they imitate the word. Those that are in the word, that know the word, live the word. And to me, what is the word? None other than Jesus Christ himself. Imitating Jesus. Look at it says it. Became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, the living word. And I don't know about you, but I sure wouldn't mind living like Jesus Christ. I sure wouldn't mind imitating his life. I sure wouldn't mind if somebody came up to me and say, man, I see Jesus in you. That would be an absolute honor that Rob Taylor died and Jesus Christ was displayed. That's what I want. I want to imitate the word of God. Imitating the Lord Jesus Christ is following him. It's seeking him. It's obeying him. Like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitators, followers. These are the people of God. Ask yourself, are you imitating the word? Is the word getting into your life so much so that the you that you used to be is being pushed out because the word is coming in? The word is filling you up. I believe it's a spiritual thing. I believe you have to be submitted to the authority of the Holy Spirit that he would just come over you. And I always want him to stand between me and whoever I'm talking to. I want them to see Jesus. I don't want them to see me. Imitating him. That's the people of the word. And like I said when I started, we're a church that believes so indefinitely in this word of God that we're going to teach it at every opportunity we have. We want to equip you as believers of God to take this word and bring it into your homes, bring it into your workplaces, bring it into your neighborhoods, bring it into whatever, if you, you know, reading clubs, bring the word of God in there because you carry the word in your heart, the Spirit of God. So where you are, he is. The opposite, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the opposite of the people of the word are the enemies of the word. And look at verses 15 and 16. Speaking of the Jews who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Two things here. The enemies of the word try to kill the word. They killed Jesus Christ. They tried to kill the living word of God. They couldn't do it though. The enemies of the word cannot stop the word of God. If you go with me to John's gospel, first chapter. You know the scripture, if God is for you, who can be against you? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Guys, we got to realize that we're already winners. We're already conquerors. So we need to move forward with boldness and confidence that nobody can stop us. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the Word. And I know that might seem, simple, but I don't think some people realize that. That Jesus, as he spoke these words, let's think of this church. They had the Old Testament, and they were reading the Old Testament scriptures to them. They were sharing them by word. Paul says, you received the word because you heard it from us. And then they shared about the life of Jesus Christ. They were being told about it. It wasn't written down. Jesus was the word. Jesus was the word. Look down at verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Listen, and the world did not know him. How deeply and intimately do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? How determined are you to find out more and more about him? We will never, our brains do not have the capacity to fully understand the power of Jesus, to understand the character of Jesus. But the more we seek, the more he reveals. The more we look, the more we will find. The doors that will be open, the things that he will show us as we continue to seek him. And then verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know about you, but I need grace in my life. And when I keep looking to Jesus, when I keep studying about Jesus, when I keep realizing that he is full of grace and truth, man, I receive that from him. I'm filled by him, those abilities. Nothing can kill the written word. Nothing could stop the living word, Jesus, and nothing can kill the followers of the word. Do you realize you sitting here today are an eternal being? You're eternal. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get to live forever. Though you may die, you will be in his presence. And though you may live, you will never, at the return of Christ, you will never see death. You will be in his presence. You're an eternal being. Nothing can stop the eternal word. The written, the living Jesus himself continues to live. And Christians are eternal. Eternal. Finally, they tried to kill the word, but they also tried to stop the word back in verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. See, the Jews were so upset at Paul and his followers because they were sharing salvation to the heathens. In the Jews' eyes, they're saying, no, they can't be saved. We're the chosen people. And that, Joe, do you know how hard it must have been for the Apostle Paul to write this down? For him to write down, they forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. These were his own people. These were his own countrymen. Paul himself said, I would rather be accursed from Christ as long as my brethren would come to the Lord. As long as that my brethren, my countrymen would be saved. Think about that for a minute. Would you be willing to suffer eternal separation from God for a loved one? That, my friends, is nothing more than living the life of Christ. Denying himself for the life of another. Would we do that? Would we truly surrender heaven for someone else? Wow. So as Paul's writing this down, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he must be going, no, I love these people. Paul was called to the Gentiles to minister, but his heart was always with the Jews. Where is your heart? Where is your passion? Where is your conviction? Where is your ministry, if you will? Who are you called? What people group are you called to minister to? Because we're all called to be an example in this world. And I don't know what it may be. It's a ministry probably I can't reach. It's only a ministry that you can reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. God's word will never fail. God's word cannot be stopped. And the work that God began in you, he will complete. That's good news, that he will complete it. We don't have to complete it. God will complete it. How do you respond to the word of God? Every morning, do you open the Bible and read it? Every morning, do you do a devotion? Every morning, do you ask God, equip me for this day before I put my feet on the floor? Or do you just go out the door and just, oh, God, bless me. And not have the equipping. It happens. I get so busy. I got a ton of things to do. And out the door I go. Oh, no. I don't have my word. I don't have that which is going to equip me for the day. That's going to give me the ability. So I get my jar out. And I open it up. And I say, give me a word, God. It might seem silly, but I got to get the word in me. You got to get the word in you. And you've got to respond to that word. Sometimes it's like, oh, Lord, I needed that. Thank you. Other times it's like, oh, Lord, that one got me good. The conviction that's there. Let it do that, my friends. Respond to it. And better yet, continually respond to it. Continually let the word of God mold you and shape you. We are such a blessed country to be able to have multiple copies of these. Thank you, God. I'm with Abraham Lincoln. I think this was, besides Jesus Christ, one of the best gifts he could have given to us. Think of the alternative. Can you imagine not having this? Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's bad enough, and we do have it. Think of what it would have been. Oh, leaving us up to our own truths. Oh, boy. Accept the word of God in your life. Allow the word to change you. I think that is the greatest evidence of the truth of the Bible's reality is that people will suffer. Paul said it. You at the end of that verse. At the end of verse 14. For you also suffered the same thing from your own country and your own people, the ones who love you. Maybe your own family is not happy with the way you are a believer. I officiated a funeral yesterday. And Jesus. But our pastor, RJ, led the man to the Lord just before he passed away. And the sad thing was, before the funeral, one of the ladies came up to me and said, well, we appreciate that he accepted Jesus, but we don't want to make a big deal about it. And it's like, what? And I loved what Pastor RJ said. He turned to me after she walked away and he said, Bruce is making a big deal about it right now. I was like, you are absolutely right. I think they were afraid that I was going to get all crazy on them. You know, I was like, hey, don't worry. I'm going to talk about it. I won't make a spectacle. But the most important thing is that the one you love is in the presence of God and lives continue today. Don't talk too much about that. Okay? You don't leave me much material. But you know what it is? We pray that through the service, seeds were planted, that the word was planted, because I'm not going to get up there and not talk about the word of God. I'm not going to not talk about Jesus Christ. I am going to share about Jesus because those people in those seats need to know about Jesus. And though there were only a couple nods here and there as I was speaking, seeds were planted. And now it's up to them to allow that seed to continue to grow. And my prayer is that they will all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Respond to the word of God. Be like the church of Thessalonica that heard it, received it, welcomed it. It changed their lives, and we're talking about them today. Man, wouldn't that be great? 2,000 years from now, people are reading about Calvary Chapel, Brentwood. The testimonies, the things that God did. Maybe God do something amazing through our church. Something that's going to be national news, God forbid. You know why I say that? Because I know he's doing great things in your life. I know that. And though you might be going through a very difficult and painful season right now, listen, for you also suffered the same things from your countrymen. That was living Jesus Christ. His own people who he came to die for rejected him, refused him. It's up to us. It's up to you. How you will respond to the news that Jesus died for you.